Shook hands, he said the fence needs fixing, the peaches need picking, and the cows need bringing round. I was hauling hay, I was feeding the hogs, and that summer sun had me sweating like a dog.
Hey, the Shilling Show continues on a Tuesday edition. Jeannie Allen joins us, the founder and CEO of the Center for Education Reform, and what a great topic it is. And a backpack full of hypocrisy, an op-ed piece she had that's gone viral. Jeannie Allen, welcome to The Shilling Show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you.
Hey, let's talk about your organization, first of all, the Center for Education Reform. What do you advocate?
Well, we advocate for great schools that provide a maximum amount of innovation, opportunity, and flexibility for the teachers, staff, and particularly the students in and around them. Fundamentally, Rob, we believe that education should be student-centered, that schools should be tailored to the needs of kids, not mm-hmm. kids tailored to the needs of schools, and that parents should have a critical role to play in deciding which pathway that their students will take. And we also believe that we should be working with learners at all levels and really blowing open this notion that schools should be siloed based on where you live, what grade or age you happen to be, and some fixed notion of a local school board or professor about what they should be learning.
Okay, so why is that a threat? I mean, those all sound like common sense principles. Who is threatened by this ideology?
Yeah, you know, it is common sense. In fact, anyone who's ever had a child, guardianed a child, or been part of a community watching students grow up understands mm-hmm. that they're all different, right? And that they start out differently and have different needs along the ways. And yes, reading, writing, and arithmetic and all of those things are critical. But how you do it, when you do it, and what fits a particular child is not something that should be controversial at all. In fact, brain science tells us that's exactly the way we should work with every individual. And who's threatened by it? Who's threatened by it are the people whose livelihood is supported by the existing status quo. Whether you're in a state like Virginia, which is a right-to-work state, or a union-dominated state, associations made up of people who claim to represent teachers, principals, administrators, really believe somehow that the system that we have and have had for 150 years isn't broken. And that somehow it's the kids to blame, not the system. And we just believe the opposite. So we're constantly challenging our detractors to open their eyes and see how we can all do better together.
So you recently were featured in a movie, an interview they did with you. The movie's called Backpack Full of Cash, I believe. Would you tell us about how that came to be and what they told you about this interview?
Sure. Well, so I was interviewed, as you know, lots of us are in this world. We love talking to media like you and others. Thank you very much, because it helps get the word out. And I did an interview about 5 years ago, ironically enough, and was asked to help provide some context in the changing landscape of education reform, what was happening across the country with charter schools and other school choice and scholarship options, and a whole array of what to do about teachers and teacher quality and how to support them and engage them and keep them coming to the classroom and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be a particularly friendly interview.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things they asked me was to describe what it is, why does people actually really think and talk about choice? And so the analogy I use, which I use frequently to help people who don't really understand how money is spent, Rob, was that, you know, imagine, at least in our nirvana, rather than have these kind of money comes from states and local school districts and goes right to a district, and then the money's spent there regardless of the child's needs, imagine that every child in America was worth about the same amount of money. And that money was basically, you know, carried by those students like a backpack full of cash. And schools vie for the privilege of educating our children. And then when your parent shows up and the school's good for you, then you hand them over that backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And words to that effect is what I said, which ended up in the trailer for the film and is in the film, this documentary, which then takes the notion of backpack full of cash to mean there's a lot of people who want to make a lot of money, and those people involved in school choice really are just about the money and the market. And so it got distorted from equity and personalization to lots of money out there on the street being misused by these so-called education reformers who want to really destroy public education.
It sounds ridiculous on the premise. So you actually had a chance to respond to this in an editorial. And one of the things I found so interesting about this piece you wrote, Backpack Full of Hypocrisy, is Matt Damon. Let's talk about Matt Damon just a little bit.
So Matt Damon, who doesn't like going to his movies, right? His mom is a public school teacher, and he showed up talking about how important it was to protect public education. And I just want to pause there for a second. You know, protecting public education is something we do. It's not the delivery mechanism. No one's against having an education of the public. We challenge the notion that it has to be done in one particular way. Anyway, Matt Damon and his mother were at a march a few years ago in Washington called Save Our Schools, which is, if you ever hear about Save Our Schools, it's really teachers union-led in order to protect seniority, tenure, and all that stuff that's not working for kids. And somehow the filmmakers were there, and they got to know him, and they asked him to narrate this film. And meanwhile, Matt Damon, who talks about why this film was so important for him to narrate and be part of, because he really wants to protect this notion of public education, went to an elite magnet school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, before he went to Harvard. And even though he lives in a lovely part of Southern California, Pacific Palisades, chose to send his kids to a private school.
Well, that's great hypocrisy. And he made a comment, I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but it was like something like, I have no choice. Did he say something?
He did make that comment. Very true.
So this is utter hypocrisy. And we saw the same thing with Barack Obama, you know, trying to dismantle the school choice that they had up in Washington, D.C., while sending his own children to private education. So it's not just Matt Damon, it's not just Barack Obama, but this hypocrisy is widespread.
Yeah, and the ideological base for it really is not very child-focused or child-friendly. Look, in Washington, D.C., you know, we worked across and have for years. It's what we are all about. We work across the aisle. We work with every form, shape, size, idea, and person who wants to work with us. And in Washington, D.C., it was heavily Democratic and many, many supporters of President Barack Obama who actually believed in also providing school options to kids, and many of them who called him out personally and said, you're my president, but you send your kids to Sidwell, and you won't let us send our kids to the school that best meets their needs. When it comes down to it, look, their argument is it's public money, and public money should go to public schools. The reality is public money is our money.
Right.
There's not a public money and a taxpayer money.
Right.
It comes from the very people. And if you're not spending money that's educating kids, we have 9% of black boys in the city of Philadelphia that won't graduate, that will graduate on time, 9%. In Detroit, it's 16%. Right? And so you start thinking about the data. 30% of our kids are proficient in math, history, reading, social studies, civics, 30 to 35%, depending on where you are. Obviously, that number's higher when you're in more affluent areas, but even the more affluent areas don't have the best schools in the world, and many of their kids struggle because we're trying to fit square pegs in round holes. So we have a crisis. It's what prevents us from being more successful. It's what prevents people from having them reaching their potential, and having, as we like to say, a path to the future.
Jeannie Allen, if people want to be in touch with you and the Center for Education Reform, please tell us how.
Please join us by going online at www.edreform.com. We have an 800 number also, 1-800-521-2118. Lots of information through both sources and lots of ways to get involved, and we'd love that.
We appreciate your work, and we thank you for joining us here today on The Shilling Show.
Thank you so much.